These bandanas make it hurt. Welcome to the Breaking Down the Bytes podcast. Interested in the IT field and looking for a way to break in? Are you a college student or looking for a career change? The IT industry is booming and has tons of opportunity. It's vast, complex, and can be overwhelming, but we can help. Come along as we break down some of the barriers as your insider to the tech industry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this week's edition of Breaking Down the Bytes. Brand new episode, as usual, every Tuesday. Here we are. I'm your host, Pat. You can find me on Twitter at Layer8Packet. That's the number 8. Kyle's riding shotgun, as always. He is on Twitter as well, Danith256. You can find the show on Twitter at Breaking Bytes Pod. We're pretty active on Twitter and all of our social media, so come say hello. All of our links will be in the show notes, so definitely come say hello. We love chatting with everybody, so we are back for another week. Kyle, what's up, man? How you doing?
Yeah, day closer to the weekend. Getting excited, you know?
That's right. That's how we roll. Yep. Record on a Thursday, release on a Tuesday. So right now, it is Thursday the 29th. You guys will hear this Tuesday the 4th, which just happens to be my birthday, by the way.
Woo!
I'm a 10-4 guy.
Oh, wow.
I'll be the big 3-7 this year. Look out.
Wow.
It's like the most,
a baby.
I know. It's like it's like the most unassuming number ever. You're just like, ah. And like, it's so weird because after a certain age, you have to like calculate in your head how old you're going to be because they just stop meaning things. It's just like, birthdays don't mean much anymore. You have to like how old am I going to be this year? Oh my God.
You'll be able to sign up for AARP soon.
I know. That's it. I'll be riding the bus for free. Look out.
Eating on the discount menu at Perkins.
That's right. Got to go before 4 o'clock. Early bird special event. So everybody, welcome to another episode. This is going to be a good one, I think. We've had a couple requests for this one as well. Last week, we did the imposter syndrome, which I thought was really good. We've gotten some really good feedback on that. So if you have not listened to that, go and do that right after this episode. Just keep them going. Just keep them playing. Whatever podcast app you do, it just keeps on playing. That's us. Yep. Just keep on listening. Now, this week, we're going to talk about good stuff, some juicy stuff, some salary issues, or I should say issues, their salary discussions, if you will. We've had a good couple weeks run, and then we've had somebody, there was a few people that actually requested this one, so we're going to try to do it some justice and rock and roll here. But for a person who has switched jobs as many times as I have, right? Some days I'm proud of that, some days I'm really not. But I don't necessarily like salary discussions. I definitely know the salary or the salary range going into a job, and that affects if I even apply for the job, right? It's like, all right, well, the salary is not in my range, then see, I just keep scrolling, keep thumbing through it. You know, and I've negotiated a few times. I don't know, maybe it's just today's age and I'm a little bit in the old school, but like, I never really gave a second thought to actually like negotiating a salary when I was first starting out. Like, I just thought like, okay, the number is what it is, and there's like no wiggle room to that. Come to find out, there is wiggle room in certain situations, right? And it may not be from a dollar perspective, right? Say, okay, look, you know, I'm just gonna use round numbers. Okay, the job posting was, you know, for 50,000, and you're like, but you may negotiate other things, like, you know, extra vacation, personal time, or, you know, whatever. I've even seen some places do like, you know, volunteer days or, you know, things of that nature. So it's definitely, you know, always, you know, money is good, right? Money makes the world go round. We get it. But if they're hard fast on a number and there's not a whole lot of wiggle room there, there are some other things that you can negotiate with as far as part of your total compensation. Because you got to look at the total compensation, right? Like I said, money goes a long way, right? That's what everybody benchmarks there. You know, they're obviously their livelihood around, and, you know, some of them brag to their friends of, you know, look how much money I make, you know, kind of thing. But you got to look at the total package, right? So your health insurance and, like I said, time off, you know, PTO and things of that nature. You know, and I've even had places that have unlimited PTO, which is kind of a weird thing to me. Like, you just have unlimited PTO, but in most aspects, like, it's not really unlimited. It's more of like, here, we say we have unlimited, but then we like shame or guilt you if you actually take advantage of that.
Right.
So it's really not unlimited. Yeah, that sort of thing. So yeah, so we're just going to try to do some justice and see what we can come up with here. There's a couple of bullet points that Kyle and I have kind of mapped out, and then we have a couple of resources at the end to really hone in on the salary piece and kind of even the playing field with some of the some of the numbers out there, and obviously depending on where you live and that sort of thing. I think a salary, or just discussing salary, I think is a mind, it's a definite mindset, right? You have to get in that frame of mind. Okay, look, it's like a negotiation, right? You want one number, they're trying to get you to a cheaper number, right? Mm-hmm. In most cases, to a cheaper number. I've actually had a place or two that I thought I was, okay, look, this is a number, and they came in higher, and I was like, okay, rock and roll. Like, so that does happen. Not often, but it does happen. And if it does happen, you're sitting pretty good. So
that's it.
But yeah, it's definitely a mind frame of, try to sit down and go to battle in that, in that aspect of it, And again, you sort of have to take, in that mind frame, you have to take your feelings out of it as well. It's a pure business transaction at this point, right? It's A and B, and you're going to war, and let's see who can, you most likely meet in the middle, right? It's classic negotiation. You want one number, they want another one, and you sort of meet in the middle. That's just the way it goes. But you have to take your feelings out of it, right? You get all worked up about it and let your feelings get in the middle, then you're likely to settle for less than what you wanted for. That's just that's just nature. That's the nature of who we are as people. So you have to kind of, again, feelings out of it, and you focus on what's truly relevant to that, to that conversation, right? So taking a step back, things of that nature, you're going to ask yourself, look, okay, if they can't come up on number, will you be able to, live with another week of vacation? Like, is the vacation worth it, to you? That sort of thing. In the last couple of places I've been, this is probably the last couple of years, just the way the industry is going, and maybe Kyle, you have the same feelings here, but I rarely ever in the last couple of years had to actually ask for a day off. Like, because it's just the nature of the business that we're in, that we're doing so much after hours, because, change windows and maintenance and things of that nature. Most bosses are just like, just whatever. Like, if you're going to the beach for like a week, then obviously that's a large block of time that you have to account for. But like a day, or, a couple hours, on a Friday to kick out when you did 3 or 4 hours of maintenance on a Wednesday or Thursday night, that's, if you have a good boss, they're not going to bat an eye.
Okay? Yeah.
Or like you take a Monday off and, they're going to be like, no big deal. And it, goes under the table. So I've had that the last couple of years. I rarely have to ever use PTO in that instance, because you put it in, it evens out in the wash, right? That's just the nature of the business we're in.
That's what I was always told. It just comes out in the wash, You stay an extra 4 hours, you go home at lunch one day or something like that, and just everybody's happy.
That's it. So that flexibility really goes a long way. That's another thing to think about too. Like, okay, they can't come up on number, or whatever. Like, what's the flexibility look like in that? Is it a stiff and rigid environment? Now you won't be able to tell that until you're sort of in the soup, right? But is it a, is it stiff and rigid? Is everybody sort of walking on pins and needles? Does everybody have to account for every, every second of their day? If that's the case, you better be thinking twice about taking that position anyway. So, you didn't hear that from me, but no, I think that's a good one. And then in that same breath of the mind frame, or I should say mindset, if you're established at a place, right? So you're kind of stepping back and looking at it like, okay, look, did you meet your KPIs, right? Your key performances or any kind of metrics that they've set, have you met them? Have you exceeded them? Right. Do you have any areas that you performed in that you showed improvement in? Right. So did you gain any new skills? Right. What sort of incentive targets, have you exceeded or hit? That all comes up at salary discussion time too. So, if you're really killing it, rock star in it, and you have it documented that you are, that's that's a hard, you know, that makes your side of the negotiation table easier, because now you have proof. Say, okay, look, I did this and this. Here's my metrics. Here's my KPIs. Here's, I met this. I got stronger in this. I learned new skill A, you know, and it sort of build a resume from a salary perspective, yep. Right? It's like, all right, look here, this warrants all of this because X, Y, and Z. So that's another one to just kind of build your own case, right? Help yourself in that aspect of things. You know, have you brought any additional capacity, you know, to your team, or are you contributing in different ways than what you were hired for, right? So that's a big one too. Like, you know, hey, you get hired to be a software developer, and then you're doing other types of dev, right? You're doing DevOps, or you're doing front end stuff instead of back end, or, you know, whatever. So have you sort of expanded that footprint of, okay, I'm helping, you know, all right, I know my team needs a DevOps guy. They don't really have one. They're not hiring for one, but I've done a shade of the DevOps stuff, right? So that's a good feather in your cap, if you will, as well. So, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, value, right? You bring in value to your company, to your position, right? Have you brought any more value in the last, you know, whatever time frame, 6 months, you know, a year, whatever? You know, those are all questions that you should be asking. Again, you know, negating the feelings from it, you know, taking the feelings out of it, but, you know, those are just some hard, steadfast questions you should be answering. And then if you can answer them truthfully, and if it looks good, great. I would go to the boss and have a sit down and say, look, you know, here's my ammo. You know, if it doesn't look so great, and you don't really think you're ready for that yet, you have things to improve, then, you know, hey, revisit in 3 months and see where, you know, really kind of push yourself to that,
yeah,
you know, to that level. So yeah, totally. I could totally see that happening. So like I said, whether, you know, keep track of your accomplishments in, you know, a Word or Google Doc or, you know, anything like that, just be ready to share that when the time comes. So that was kind of my thought process there, Kyle. Anything for you?
Yeah, I would definitely say the things that you contribute to add value, write them all down, because yeah, if somebody asks you on the spot, you're probably not going to be able to list them all off or do that kind of stuff. And they're, you know, you might miss some accomplishments, which then you miss getting that bump or a salary that you're looking for.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah, I write down quite a few things and just say, hey, you know, these are notes for later, or, you know, because it's hard to keep everything in your head. So definitely, you know, write those notes down. Word or Google Doc is obviously popular these days because, yeah, you know, it's Google, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, anything like that. I'm a big proponent of outline style notes. So I do that, you know, quite a bit. So or like a mind map. There's a bunch of templates out there for mind maps. So you just kind of take like one core idea and then have all these offshoots of, you know, different ideas or something that supports the core idea. So either like an outline or a mind map, that typically works, you know, best for me. So you just have to find what works best for you, but definitely write it down. That way you have all your ducks in a row and all your ammo ready for when the salary time comes. And it comes once a year, right? That's just a standard thing in today's business world. Some places do it, you know, in January, the beginning of the year, or some places do it, you know, at their beginning of their year, like at, you know, June or July, or, you know, whatever their fiscal year is. So I've been in both places. So yeah, just kind of know your environment and give yourself the best chance to really, you know, be the best version of you, right? And get what you came for, right? That's the idea. So the other thing too, kind of the bullet point we have here is, you know, do your homework, right? Know what others in your similar roles are getting paid, right? And there's a bunch of sites out there for that. Glassdoor is one of them.
Yep,
right.
That's a good one.
Glassdoor. Kyle, you mentioned
Fishbowl.
Fishbowl. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one, Kyle. What do we know? You know what that is? Or have you used it? Or do you have kind of a little background on that?
It's kind of like anonymous. You put in your role, kind of deal like that, and it posts, you know, from like the role perspective, not so much like, you know, hey, I work at this company and this is what they're doing to me. So it makes it a little easier for people to kind of react and give you answers, you know, without kind of being put your name out there and all that kind of stuff. But you can ask questions about salary or, you know, if you're being treated fairly at a workplace or something like that. And, you know, people respond and give you good advice, at least from what I've seen so far.
Cool. Yeah, so check out Glassdoor is a good one. I've used that quite a bit. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a touch on salary range. It also gives you a little bit of an insight, something like a peer review site kind of thing of said company. So it kind of gives you a peek into the company culture from various different positions and people that leave reviews. Some are good, some aren't. You know, so you got to take that for what it's worth too. Yep. And you know, kind of looking at that. But not every position has like a monetary number salary tied to it, but you can kind of get a range of, you know, of what you're worth or what they're kind of, you know, what they're going for. So if you're working through a recruiter, is he throwing a higher number at you or a lower number? Or, you know, so, but at least have data to back up and say, look, okay, yeah, I did my homework. Other people in this company and with similar roles are getting paid X. Mm-hmm. You're offering me Y, you know, and kind of come to a middle ground and say, okay, look, I can, you know, do this for that. Yeah, that sort of thing. So, but yeah, definitely like doing your homework and having the right motivation puts you, I would say the right motivation puts you at ease of salary negotiation. I would definitely, like I said, the more homework you have, that seems to be a theme of this episode. The more homework, the more data you have, the better off you are. Yeah, but I think you need to sit down either with the hiring manager or if you're working through a third party recruiter, just sit down and say, look, you both had to come to an acceptable range. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, look, and I'm just using round numbers. Okay, 50, you know, the low end, 50 grand, high end, 70 grand, whatever. But so you need to agree on that. But if you don't agree on that's you're like worlds apart, right?
Right.
That's the first thing you need to do is agree on an actual range. And then once you get in that range, then it's time to go to town and see if you can come out on the higher end of that. So, but yeah, definitely agree to that. And that all depends on obviously some standard factors, right? So like the job market you live in, right? So where you're at in the country, that's going to definitely help. Or I should say that's going to affect what your, you know, what your salary is. I think different verticals as well a factor in that. So, you know, tech companies, you know, typically tech companies pay higher than manufacturing companies, or you know what I mean? Like, it's just what it is, right? You know, but and that also leads to a discussion of, okay, you know, the company you're going into, no matter what vertical it is, like, do they see IT as a moneymaker or cost center, right? And I think we both know the answer to that one. Yeah. Most of the time, and don't be surprised, most of the time, IT is just a cost center. And it's not looked at as a money maker, right? You know, which there's arguments on both sides of that. You get it. But some places I've been literally just look at IT as just a number and they do just enough. They throw just enough money at it to keep the lights on. And they never quite get to that next level of, okay, look, this could really work for us instead of them working, like instead of IT working for you, let IT really work for you. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those things, like, you know, it's IT is usually behind the apple cart, not pulling it from the front. Right.
Yeah.
So that's just what it is. And it's just the time we're in and, but whatever, but side tangent on that. But yeah, again, you have to know the market you live in, right? So you can't like, you can't live in a rural Kentucky and then be like, I want 150 grand a year. That's just not happening. Right?
Right.
So now in San Francisco, that's a different story. Right. So it all depends on what part of the country you live in and you know, what the average income and the means are that of the place of the country you live in. So Kyle and I are in the US. So that's what we're basing our data off here. So if you're elsewhere, then, you know, that applies to you. That's it's so weird. Sometimes I forget this podcast is like international. We have people live like listening all over. It's just like so like we're just so honed in on the US because that's where we live and it's just so prevalent. But like, yeah, people listen outside the US and we certainly appreciate it. So shout out to everybody that's outside the US and definitely shout out to everybody that lives here too. So yeah. It's all good. Shout out to everybody. Let's just cover it. Shout out to everybody. So yeah, and kind of getting back to task here, I think it's important for you to understand the manager's side of the deal as well. So like, you know, is there like a pay band that applies to the role? You know, how does that stack up against specific skills or, you know, any sort of accomplishments with those pay bands, right? So, you know, or if you're in a current role, right, that applies to your current role, but also in a current role, like, does your manager have sufficient budget for raises? Because some places don't, like there's not a whole lot of room, and you know, in today's economy and you know, whatever everyone feels about it, it's, you know, the belt is tighter. It just is what it is. We're in this weird cyclical, you know, kind of lull. But, you know, some places don't have room for, you know, for raises for the magnitude of reasons. Every reason is specific to, you know, what the company is mm-hmm. doing, you know, performance wise. But, you know, you sort of have to understand it from their perspective as well of, okay, look, you know, yeah, I can't give you a raise because X, or, hey, you got to wait, you know, for 3 months until that big account, you know, whatever, pays their bill, or, you know, we land a big account or whatever. Yeah, there's many factors into, you know, into doing that as well. So trying to come at this from, you know, a new person trying to start, and then also from a person that's there trying to actually go for a raise, but, you know, an established, you know, employee as well. So, and then, you know, also just getting back to, you know, what else are you willing to offer? Or I said, what else are you willing to accept if a pay increase isn't on the, and, you know, in the cards, right? Total compensation. Talked about it before. You know, greater bonuses or instead of payout, right? Again, increased PTO or stock options. And that was, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't talk about that before. Stock options or, you know, healthcare benefits. If you can, you know, get those for cheaper too, that's important there too. So, you know, it's, there's a multitude of ways to kind of skin this cat. But and I guess that was the end of that particular chunk. You have anything there, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes if you can't get just an actual salary raise and stuff like that, like you said, though, you can get maybe a performance bonus or a one-time kind of, you know, it helps.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt, you know, but you also, I mean, you could be the victim of starting salary too. You know, sometimes you just got to get, you got to get up to speed, you know, because you're just way underpaid. Because you started at, you know, $35,000 a year or whatever, and you're like getting your raise and your bonus and stuff or whatever, but you're just, you know, never caught up to current wages.
No, that's a good point. I didn't think about that before, but it's definitely a good point. I've seen a lot of places where, like, you know, I'll take it happens everywhere, but this happened to me when I was in my very first job in the tech support role, and I came in at, you know, X amount of dollars per hour. And then, you know, I was there 7 years. So I, you know, year three, year five, year whatever, like they had, you know, they brought brand new people starting in tech support that were making just as much, if not more, than I was. And it's just like, what are we doing? I'm here longer, and the new guy comes in and gets $1 an hour more or whatever. And, you know, it, again, you have to adjust for, you know, the times and such. That's why I think salary discussion is so important, because you have to stay ahead of the curve, or else, you know, new guys and gals are going to come in and, you know, pretty much make what you're making, and you look like a schmuck, you know, that kind of thing. So it has happened before, and it's like, that's a punch to the gut, because then it's like, all right, if I'm not going to get paid the same as the new guy, and I've cut my teeth, you know, on, you know, in this company and work my way up, and I'm getting paid just as much as the new guy coming in here, that's when you start seeing people hit the streets mm-hmm. and actually get paid what they're worth. So it's a slippery slope, but that's why I think salary discussion is important, because you gotta, every year you gotta go in there and be like, look, I did this, or I did this, and I did this. And then if they don't come to play, or at least, you know, put on a good face, then hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yep.
It is what it is. But I think, and the other point here is, you know, you got to set, in today's age, you have to look at it again like a business transaction, right? Take your feelings out of it, things of that nature. So I say this last one with, you know, take it for what it's worth, but you sort of have to set everybody up to win. You know, if you're just playing the game to see the biggest payoff for yourself, no matter what that cost is, right? If you're going to throw your other teammates under the bus, or, you know, talk shit about your manager, and then get, you know, it's a small world, right? We talked about that before. They're eventually going to find out. So if you're playing that game to get the biggest payoff just for you, no matter what you got to go through or what the cost is, it's generally not the best idea. It doesn't play out well, right? So, because that sort of like sparks resentment in that aspect, right? You kind of, you get that label. And once you get that label, it's hard to get that label off. It really does, man. I've been that label a few times and it's just like, oh, this is the worst. Like, you just never go anywhere because you're just, yep, you're just that guy or that gal, right?
I'd say the same thing, Pat, about, you know, going in playing hardball.
Right.
You know,
right.
if you're the guy on the team or whatever, you're senior and you're like, I want this or I'm out, you know, like, and you play right between a rock and a hard place. Like,
right,
you yep can maybe do that once, but, you know, it's not going to really do you a whole lot of favors in the long
right
run.
Right. No, exactly right. Yeah. You go in there and playing hardball and acting like you're, you know, your shit don't stink.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work. Like you said, it may work once, but you try that again. There's way too many people out there with the skill set that you have that
right
they're not going to give them the headache that you do. That's just what it is. So yeah, it's just be mindful of that. Yeah. I have had that happen before. People go in there and they just don't. They just like, all right, well, we don't need you anymore. See ya. And that's, yeah, there's plenty of other people out there that aren't going to give us the headache. And
right,
you know, it is what it is. And it's like, whoa, that didn't work out the way it was supposed to. Yeah. It's like, oh boy, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, I would say don't go in there playing hardball. I would say for most people, you sort of have to find that balance of where everybody wins, right? And that comes back to knowing what kind of position your manager is in. You may not know the minutia of what he's, you know, what they're thinking, but have a general idea of, okay, like you kind of know if the company is doing well or not. Like if you're really paying attention, you should know if the company is doing well or if, you know, there is a chance that you're missing, you know, missing bonuses this week or bonuses and or pay raises, you know, this cycle, you know, so kind of know what he's, you know, what he's working with before you, you know, before you walk in there. So if you're looking for sort of a, you know, you're looking for a win to win, right? And that puts your boss at a better place. It puts you in a better place. And like I said, you know, you have one set of ideals of what a win is. He's got another one and it usually ends up somewhere in the middle. And mm-hmm. That's just what it is. It's the art of the negotiation, you know. So when you go in there, you try to talk your value first, and then your price second, right? That seems like a counterintuitive thing to do, but you know, if your value talks for itself, the price is going to come. Now, whether that price is with your current employer or with someone else, that's, you know, up to you. But yeah, value first. What can you do for a company, and then that. Yeah, that turns into a dollar amount that you're most generally, you know, most times satisfied with. So that's just is what it is. It's the way the world works today.
I think that would come back to like have that communication with your manager, but again, with your here's my assets, because obviously you want the value of getting paid.
Yep.
And they want the value of this guy's a performer and gets right stuff done.
Yep.
And makes us money because ultimately, like, you know, they're a business to make money.
Sure.
And looking out for themselves, the same thing as you. You're like, as an individual, I like money because it gives me the freedom to do the stuff that I want to do.
That's right. That's right. We got expensive hobbies these right days. Right. God damn it.
Expensive, even food.
That's right. Yeah, just as another tip, I would just say, you know, when you go in there and talk to your boss, just be natural, but you got to mm-hmm. be confident in that same breath, right? You can't go in there like pins and needles, and, you know, like a one big stress ball. They're going to pick up on that right away. You know, I would, you know, natural, confident, and then, you know, that helps with the ease of, you know, the better prepared you are, I would think.
Yeah.
Right. So that kind of thing. So, you know, again, think win-win, keep positive from beginning to end, right? And, you know, but at the same time, like, be ready for pushback, right? They, you know, it's like a car deal, right? I just bought a car. It's literally a car deal. Like, yep, be prepared for pushback. They're going to push back. They're going to say, well, blah, 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 blah. They may even get up and go to the cafeteria for a cup of coffee. Don't let that scare you.
No, right.
just be prepared for pushback. And it's not a bad thing. It's, you know, most of the time it's constructive. And, you know, if you have a good boss, they want to see you do well too, but he's, you know, they have a framework to work within. And like I said, usually falls somewhere in the middle. So there's nothing crazy there. So there's a couple of tips on what that looks like and how to, you know, how to handle some of those things. But yeah, we mentioned Glassdoor, mentioned Fishbowl,
mm-hmm.
Try and do that. The other thing too, I've used it a few times in my careers. Robert Half, which if those of you that don't know, Robert Half is a nationwide recruiting firm. And I've used a few of their recruiters there. They have what they call a salary guide that they do every year. So you just do a search for Robert Half salary guide. It brings you right to it. But basically the gist of it is, you know, It's an actual guide, like a PDF kind of deal. You can give your name and your email, and you know, you kind of tell them what you're looking for. Like, you want to find out, you know, hey, how much you can earn, or if you're a hiring manager, how much I should pay for someone, right? So, and they give you the whole, you know, they give you the spiel of, you know, a whole PDF on you know, salary ranges per position and, you know, part of the country you're in, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then, but also right there on their, on the website, it gives you the option to put in what your title is in your city that, you know, that you work in. And it gives you a low end, a medium, and a high for what your actual position title is. So if you feel free to use that if you'd like to, again, just more leverage to, you know, see what you're getting paid for. But yeah, they're sort of all over in that, in the space, right? So they're in, you know, finance and accounting or technology and marketing and, you know, administrative support, customer support, legal, healthcare, human resources. They're in very many verticals. So check that out. We'll have the link to that salary guide in the show notes if anybody wants to check that out. So anything else, Kyle, on the salary stuff?
Again, with the, you know, giving them some metrics and stuff like that, because if you bring it to your manager, there's a good chance that your manager is not the one who gets to make the final decision.
Sure.
He's got to advocate for you, kick it up the ladder and stuff like that. So the more information and data points kind of that you have and says like, this guy's worth his weight, you know, give it all you can.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, the more you make your boss's job easier in advocating for you, the better. I think that's a great point. And just kind of, you know, kind of go from there. But like, I was always the guy that like, hey, you know, hey, this company's willing to hire me and this is what the salary is. And I was like happy with that. Like there was no room for wiggle room. But yeah, you know, I think in today's, you know, quote unquote new school age, there definitely is wiggle room for various things, right?
Yeah.
So get out there and do your thing. And yeah, but it's, you know, it's a negotiation at the end of the day. It is what it is. You just got to be prepared for that. So, and the other thing too, I'm, you know, maybe this is an old school thought of me, of myself, but like, I, you know, when I started out, like nobody really talked about like salaries or what other people were getting paid for, or you know what I mean? Like, do you see that too? Like, I feel like it's a lot more open now than it used to be.
Oh yeah, definitely. Everybody was like, they played the cards real close and stuff like that. Like nobody talked salary. Nobody talked, you know, it just wasn't something you did.
Right. Right. Yeah. I feel like that today is, it's way more open than it used to be. You know, now I don't have everybody come up to me and go, oh yeah, I make this much. Yeah. That kind of thing. But, but like if the, you know, if you're having a conversation, it sort of morphs into that, mm-hmm. especially around, you know, the boss says, hey, it's raise time. Like that it tends to come up in that you know, I don't mind telling people like what I make, but you know what I mean? Like that has to come up in conversation in the context that you're having it, not just out of left field like, hey, I make whatever,
right kind
of. But yeah, you're right, like a couple of years ago, just real close to the chest, nobody talked about it, and that was like a sacred number between you and the boss, you know. But I think the more people talk about it, the more it evens the playing field. It takes away some of the the guessing game, I guess, is, I don't know if that's the right word for it, but it takes, you know, takes away some of the leverage guessing game out of that whole, you know, whatever, that whole negotiation. Or you know, so like you have three people in a team and you know, one's making 10 to 15 grand more than the other two, and it's like, well, you're all on the same team, you all roughly do the same things, where's the disparity here? Like
right. I mean?
And years ago, like that never would have even been a thing because nobody talked about it. Now I think it's a little more commonplace to, you know, to kind of share some of that. And again, that kind of takes some of the power out of, you know, the manager's hands or even, you know, company's hands and saying, okay, look, we can't get away with this anymore because people know what they make, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
But I found that interesting that it's a lot more prevalent in today's world that people talking about their salaries with other folks than it used to be even 5, 10 years ago.
Yeah. And that's one of the nice things about like Glassdoor and stuff too.
Yeah.
You can kind of find out without having to have that conversation with somebody.
Yep.
And if that's something you're not comfortable doing, you can kind of be like, well, let me go see what we got going on here.
Sure. Yep. It definitely levels the playing field with a lot of these sites, right? And honestly, I, you know, depending on, the environment that you're in and the culture that you're in, I don't necessarily know that I would even entertain a job if the salary wasn't in the job posting. You know, and that kind of goes back to the first point we made. Like, look, if it ain't in the job, if it's not your wheelhouse, don't take it.
Right.
But if the salary is not even posted in the original job, I wouldn't take it either. Cause that, it, to me, that tells me they're trying to hide something or play some shady ass game that they're right. not, that, you know what I mean? So yeah, it just kind of stay away from stuff like that. It just doesn't make any sense to open that door. If, you know, if the door isn't enticing to open, let it shut. Right. It's just what it is. That was kind of it. I think that was, those were the big points that we want to make.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, just trying to give you some value on, you know, some of the hiring process or what it, you know, what to look for in the salary and, you know, things of that nature. So, yeah, you know, and to be honest, like, I guess one parting thought I would have here, but, you know, over the last couple of years that I've job hopped quite a bit, I made some friends with some recruiters as well. Like, they're actual like friends of mine, not just, you know, hey, I'm starting to look, what do you have out there for me? I would go, you know, if you have a friend that's a recruiter or maybe someone that's a little longer in the tooth and, you know, it's got a couple more years on you in the industry, you know, ask how they do it. Or, you know, even from the recruiter perspective, say, hey, how, you know, it's time for a bump, or, hey, what, you know, what do you think of this job posting? Even, I know it's not yours, but, you know, what do you think of this job posting? Is there any red flags here? Or, because those recruiters know that they deal with that every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They know what's good and what's bad and what's a, you know, what's a phishing attempt. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, I get headhunters all day long and it's like, some of that stuff is like, geez, you even read, like, do you even proofread what you're sending people? Because this is awful. It's just so bad. I would run it by the recruiter and say, hey, you know, I came across this, you know, it looks pretty good. What do you say? And, you know, let them kind of, you know, steer you. Hey, you know, give it a shot. Or now there's a red flag and, you know, there are red flags because X, you know, that kind of thing. So that's just one kind of parting thought there. Anything else, Kyle, before we kind of wrap up? I mean, it's just a little shorter one, but
I would say too, you know, with your searching and whatnot too, you got to keep your apples to apples, because in the age of like remote work now,
yep,
you know, if you got some California prices going on there and then you're, like you said, you're living in Kentucky, you can't go to the Kentucky place and be like, well, they're willing to pay me, you
that's
know,
right.
X, Y, Z.
That's right. Yeah. Now, it's all relative to where you live.
Yep.
And most places now, like even from a remote perspective, like they base it off the state you live in. That's just kind of what, you know, and I think that, you know, they have to do that for tax purposes and all that kind of crazy shit too. So, you know, so when they're opening a position for that, they kind of tweak for that scenario, I guess you
know,
call it. So yeah. So just be on the lookout for that. But yeah, I mean, sites to look for. Glassdoor has its own, you know, job engine search plus the things we mentioned. Yeah, the standard ones, right? Indeed, Dice. Actually, you know, LinkedIn has become quite a big piece of that as well. Looking for that, because then it kind of, you know, if you have a decent LinkedIn profile, it kind of tailors jobs free, you know, for you. It puts it in your feed. So, yeah, that's a good one too. I've had some good luck on LinkedIn the last couple of years, and because, you know, a lot of people on LinkedIn are, you know, business minded, so they're looking for, you know, they're looking for you. So yeah, so I would definitely give LinkedIn a shot as well. So that's kind of it. Kyle, you good?
Yeah.
Get out of here. A couple notes that we have, I should say. First of all, we had Nikki Townsend on a few weeks ago just to come chat, and it was a great time with her. And we mentioned her nonprofit called TechAware, and it's getting people, or I should say, getting women into the fields, into the tech field, into the tech space. So, and she runs a few, her company TechAware runs a few women wine and tech events that are sporadic throughout. They started here in the Pennsylvania area where Kyle and I live. She's from Pennsylvania here as well. And now they're starting to branch out. So we just got some dates on the first one that's going to be outside of the Pennsylvania walls here. They got one in Boston coming up. So actually it is in, it's in the Boston area, Burlington, Massachusetts. So it's in a Boston suburb. So Burlington, Massachusetts, Women, Wine, and Tech by TechAware. It's at the Microsoft location, which is a 5 Wayside Road in Burlington, Massachusetts. It is Thursday, October 27th. So just under a month from now, 5:30 to 7:30 Eastern time. So if you're in the area, and you want to go check it out, you can register. It is free to register. The event is free. All you have to do is sign up and tell them that you're coming. The plug for us is we partnered with our good friends at CBT Nuggets. Shout out. And they have graciously donated 2 6-month subscriptions to their training platform to give away at the event. So yeah, so that's incentive for you to go as well. You could win a subscription to for CBT Nuggets. And to be honest with you, I do CBT Nuggets for all my Cisco stuff. When I was doing the Cisco stuff, I still am to a degree today, but I've used CBT Nuggets for a long time. So they've been very good to me, and they're going to be very good to anybody that's using them. So they have some really top notch instructors and some really cool stuff. So yeah, so that is a note here as well. So Women, Wine, and Tech, Burlington, Massachusetts, 5:30 to 7:30, October 27th. So we'll put a link to it's an Eventbrite site, the registration. So if you want to register and go, all you have to do is register. It is free. Just show up and your name is in a hat for the subscription. So go support them. Go meet some great people. And there's wine involved. Why not? So yeah. It's all good. So, and there's a description about the event on that site. So it'll be good. I think they're doing headshots. So if you need a headshot taken, head there. You can network with other women, career tips and resume building and financial planning. And then of course the wine and all the camaraderie. So go there and hang out. So the link will be in the show notes. So check that out. The other thing too was last year, Dean and I were nominated for the Cisco Champion program that Cisco runs. And basically what Cisco Champion is, it's a community of content creators or heavy hitters in the Cisco space world, whatever you want to call it. We were nominated as a top podcast for in Cisco's eyes last year, so very grateful for that. Dean and I have since been inducted, if you will, into the Cisco Champions class of 2022. Nice. So now Dean and I are part of a exclusive kind of community where we get a whole bunch of stuff, swag, and we get insider information on Cisco's tech products and feedback and all kinds of crazy stuff that we get to be a part of. So, and then obviously that's our, we get access to a whole bunch of really smart people that are going to be guests on this podcast. So we're going to try to pluck them and get them to come on the show and hang out and talk and whatnot. And then I will be on their Cisco Champions Radio in the next, whenever they can fit me in. So that's a good plug for us as well. So that'll be there as well. Yeah. So Cisco Champions, that reminds me, Kyle, you got to sign up or you got to get on the board with the Cisco Champion stuff for next year. So I think enrollments are coming up for 2020, I think in the next month or so for next year. So nice. We'll get you on and get you in the space and come hang out with us, man. It's a cool club.
Oh, to hang out with the cool kids.
That's right. Look out. Yeah. So that's going to be cool too. I think that's it. Those are the two things we want to mention. Again, all this stuff will be in the show notes if you want to take a peek at that. And otherwise we are going to get out of your hair, get back to your day or your night, wherever you're listening from. Appreciate everybody joining this week as usual. Our website's still out there, but you can subscribe to the show on your favorite catcher, right? iTunes or Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or if you just need an RSS feed, there's one there as well. If you're already in iTunes, which most of you are, throw us a rating. That would be awesome. 5 stars are great, but if you have constructive criticism, we'll take that too. Simply tell a friend, right? That works just as well. That I think sometimes that means a little more if a friend tells you to listen to a podcast. So that would be awesome. Tell a friend. Again, follow us on Twitter. We're on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. We have a Discord server that we have. All that stuff is in the show notes for everybody. We have a survey out there, right? So that's on our website as well. That just helps us tweak the show a little bit, get some feedback from everybody. So yeah, that's it. Another good episode. Kyle, thanks for joining. It's been awesome.
Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure, my friend. We'll see everybody. See everybody next week.
So long.